Australia, and it's the 19th of March 2012. I'm your host for tonight, Hereward Fenton is my name. Welcome, and it's really great to have your company. Thanks so much for joining us. Tonight I'm bringing you a replay of an interview that was done with myself on another radio show. That's the Rule of Law radio show on the Logos Radio Network, which is hosted by Deborah Stevens, who also runs the radio network that this show will be broadcast on. And our first live broadcast will be this week, so it will be the 22nd of March. So if you're getting this in a podcast, I do encourage you to go to Logos Radio Network, have a look at the site. There's a listen page. You can see there on their main page at logosradionetwork.com. And our show will be on from 12 noon till 2 p.m. Now, that corresponds to 8 to 10 p.m. the previous day in the U.S. Central Time. Now, in a couple of weeks, that time will actually change because we'll be going off daylight saving. They just went onto it, so it'll be starting at 1 p.m., I believe, when we go off daylight saving. But I'll try to make sure that I send out some emails and keep people informed about that through our website. Now, before I go to the recorded interview from last week, I just want to run through a few things that have hit my desk in the last couple of days. There really has been some quite alarming and saddening news coming out on the global stage, particularly over issues in relation to Iran, Afghanistan, and Syria. And I've got three stories I want to run through there with you on each of those topics. Now, firstly, I want to just read here an article that came out on ABC on the weekend. Global payment system to block Iranian banks. The world's largest electronic payment system will cut off Iranian banks blacklisted by the European Union in an attempt to further strangle Iran's ability to finance a nuclear program. Belgium-based SWIFT, which facilitates most global cross-border payments, said it would disconnect designated Iranian financial firms from its messaging system on Sunday after European regulators ordered it to do so. Now, folks, this really is an act of war, and it's really quite extreme. Now, I've been somewhat restrained in expressing my opinion about what is going to unfold here in this situation. And also, I've been trying to not hype up the threat and the danger, because I really don't think that benefits anyone. And I'm always keen to try and see a way forward that would avoid conflict and war, because I think we do have the ability, through our conscious direction of thought and energy, to influence the world. And even a show as small as this, you know, we reach out and we put an idea into your head, and then you take it to someone else and put that idea into their head, and there is a chain reaction. And I do think that's really important. So I do not like to hype up the threat of World War III and nuclear Armageddon and the unfolding catastrophe. I don't want to give the impression that I think that's inevitable. But this particular story really looks like an act of war. I mean, if this country is not able to transact, it is not able to function, it will not be able to import goods, it will not be able to get the money when it exports goods. Iran will be able to continue to trade through some banks. This does not block them completely. I'll just read a bit more here from that article. The EU decision forces SWIFT to take action. Disconnecting banks is an extraordinary and unprecedented step for SWIFT. It is a direct result of international and multilateral action to intensify financial sanctions against Iran. Expelling the banks will close a major avenue through which Tehran does business with the rest of its world in the hope of pressuring Iran into curbing its nuclear program. Now, it does say here that not all transactions are affected by this. There will be the possibility of Iran to continue to function financially. But this type of action is the type of action which I consider to be an act of war. And I really do now think that the situation needs to be considered as a war all but declared. There is a war against Iran, and of course, you know, the covert side of that has been going on several years. Now it's really overt, and I'm very, very concerned about the outcome. I'm very, very concerned over the next few months about what's going to happen. Anyway, I refer you to that article, which will be in our show notes. Now, the next story I want to cover is one that I picked up from watching the Kaiser Report. Now, the Kaiser Report is a great show. It's actually one of my favorite shows. I really like Max Kaiser's style. I like Stacey Herbert. They've got great insights. Their delivery is really quick and really agile and interesting. And I just really think it's a great show. However, I do think in this latest show, I think Max has dropped the ball in terms of the information that he's presented. Now, I'll just bring up the recent Kaiser Report information. In the second half of the show, Max talks to filmmakers William Gagan and Jeff Shively about their crowdfunded journey to Syria. And with the introduction of anti-free speech laws in Chicago, the filmmakers discuss the small drone helicopters they have acquired for reporting on the NATO summit. Now, look, this interview was very interesting, and I was certainly, I took it at face value when I was listening. These guys described how they self-funded their journey, partly through a website that Max Kaiser himself, I believe, has set up called Pirate My Film. And they call it crowdfunding. People can donate through some online funding channels. This is similar to PayPal, but it's not PayPal. It's an organization called WePay.com, I believe. Now, the story of these guys, as they described it, is, well, William Gagan had been in the Occupy movement, and he'd been inspired to get involved in some grassroots activism in the previous year. And this year, he decided he wanted to find out more about what was going on in the Middle East, and they used these funding channels. They raised $5,000. And with his friend Jeff Shively, who works in computer security, they went off to Syria to find out what's really going on. Now, some interesting points to make about this. Firstly, they did not actually go to Syria. They went to Turkey. And they went to the eastern part of Turkey, which borders on Syria. And then what they did is they sneaked in through the border, which, of course, is completely illegal. And in any country, if you did that, you would be likely to be arrested and probably accused of various things, either drug running or espionage or anything, really, because you're violating the sovereignty of another country. You're completely bypassing international law. And I would fully expect anyone who did that to really, if they got caught, to be in a lot of trouble. However, these guys didn't get caught, but they sort of make a big deal about how scared they were because there were Syrian army in there. Well, they were in Syria. I mean, they went over the border secretly, and they went across the border in an area which is a hotbed of rebel activity. And, of course, these rebel forces come mainly from outside of Syria themselves, and so they're crossing the border constantly between Turkey and Syria. And, of course, these guys end up meeting up with some of the rebel army there. which of course is no coincidence, because they went into Syria in exactly the place where the rebels are concentrated. Now, you can watch their videos, and we'll put some links to it online. But unfortunately, there's really nothing to see in the videos that they've shot. You just see them kind of climbing through some barbed wire, and then they're walking through bush, and then they're kind of standing on a hilltop, and then they're looking down and they're saying, oh my God, you know, there's Syrian army down there. Yeah, guys, you're in Syria, okay? You went into another country illegally, and yes, there are Syrians down there and Syrian army down there. But they seemed so terrified of that they turned around and they said, we're going to get out of here now. And this is in their video, literally. It's ridiculous. Anyone who watches this will have to realize that these are either clowns, this is either some kind of ridiculous failed propaganda exercise, or that these people are really just quite naive and silly. Okay. Then they turn around and they're sort of rushing back. And they just happened to bump in to some rebel soldiers. And the rebel soldiers join with them and tell them how terrible the Syrian leadership is. And that's pretty much the end of the story, because they end up back in Turkey. And then really it's all just them talking to the rebels in Turkey. And I really didn't watch the whole thing because it goes on and on for a very long time. And a huge part of the video is just them walking through the bush, you know, completely uninteresting, pointless. One would wonder why it was not even edited out of any video they shot, because it's actually on YouTube. Now, but I must point out that this actually was featured on Reuters, and the interview they gave on Reuters looked very serious, and they said, you know, we barely escaped Syria, and the Syrian army was there, and we had to run away, and we were afraid to turn on our sat nav because the Syrians would have targeted us with their rockets. And it's all just a complete hype and complete nonsense. So I'm going to provide some links to that, but I just want to say, look, I just had to call it out. This particular thing was completely ridiculous, and I believe completely fake, and either some kind of propaganda exercise or just a couple of silly people. Final thing I want to talk about today is the Afghan situation, and I want to read to you from an article that was published on globalresearch.ca. This is an article by Joe Giambrone, America's Lone Gunman in Afghanistan. I did it. It appeared you had a lone gunman who acted on his own. That's a quote from Barack Obama. We have two very, very different stories coming out of Afghanistan regarding the killing spree and 9 murdered children out of 16 slayings in Kandahar. On the one hand, we have the surrender and confession of Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, dressed up in an Afghan robe and allegedly surrendering on videotape with the words, "I did it," on his lips. No doubt he did. He acknowledged the killings, then asked for an attorney within minutes of being captured, and isn't cooperating with the investigation, according to military spokespersons. Since then, Bales has been spirited out of Afghanistan. But when exactly was this surrender filmed, and after what negotiations or deals had been struck? It has the appearance of being a staged event. The alleged lone nut Bales did not act alone, according to multiple eyewitnesses, family members of the slain, as well as an official Afghan parliamentary investigation. No, there were up to 20 participants at multiple locations. The assault looks a lot like a night raid, which is standard practice in the Afghanistan war theatre, only this time with added payback inflicted on local families. Perhaps this payback was related to another soldier in their company who lost a leg the day before. So when Obama uses imprecise language like, "it appeared," we have to wonder if there is more to this qualified assessment than meets the eye, and if Obama knows full well that he may need to backpedal someday into what appears in a week or a month from now. The lone nut killer spree is an easy sell when non-white, non-American, non-English-speaking witnesses can't get their stories told in the US mainstream media. There is only the official version, the uniformed English language version, the government-approved thinking on the matter. But an investigatory team, which included 8 Afghan lawmakers, spent 2 days at the Panjwai district crime scene gathering evidence. We closely examined the site of the incident, talked to the families who lost their beloved ones, the injured people and tribal elders, one of the officials said. They reported that their investigation showed that there were 15 to 20 American soldiers who executed the brutal killings. 15 to 20 soldiers. And according to the reports, the soldiers appeared to be drunk, were laughing and reveling as they murdered completely unarmed civilians and children. And this whole event has now been compressed into a lone gunman story. The man himself has now been removed from Afghanistan. I believe he's now back in the US, actually. The Afghans' own investigation is being completely ignored in the mainstream media, completely ignored by the Australian government, completely ignored by the United States government and every other major Western power. And just today, I was listening to Parliament here in Australia, and I had to listen to this sickening, nauseating eulogy about what a fantastic job we're doing over there. And I heard stories about little children saying how proud they were of their fathers going to Afghanistan to defend freedom. And it went on and on. I don't know what triggered that in Parliament, but I certainly think it's got something to do with damage control over this issue here. And, you know, it's all a lie, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a disgusting, outrageous, abominable lie. And these people, including our MPs, including our Prime Minister, including the leading editors of our newspapers and television and radio, are complicit in covering up outrageous crimes against humanity. And these people will be held account. I want to put them on notice now in this broadcast. We are coming for you. You have lied and lied and lied. You have covered up the truth. You've propped up empire. You've made it possible for these unbelievable acts against other nations to continue year after year. We will be coming for you. You will pay a price for what you have done. And if you're listening to this, I hope you can take this message forward and make it known that these people are criminals. They are guilty of crimes against humanity. And we have to overturn the situation. We have to. I'm going to leave you with that, and I'm now going to bring in the next segment, which is the rest of the show, which is my interview that I did with Deborah Stevens, and the topic is body scanners. The new website that I've created, wewillnotbescanned.org, which again really needs your support. Please get in touch with us. We need your help. The interview goes through a lot of the evidence and a lot of the arguments, and Deborah also pitches in with some very interesting observations of her own. I do hope you enjoy it. Our next show will be a live show. We'll be seeing you then. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
Folks, we are back. This is The Rule of Law. Randy Kelton, Eddie Craig, and Deborah Stevens. And again, you can donate to Eddie's legal fund to take his case into the federal courts. Go to ruleoflawradio.com, and you'll see there's a chip-in widget on the homepage. And we very much appreciate any help that you folks can give. We are also hoping to be able to give a little bit back to Eddie's friend in Nacogdoches, who's 70 years old and couldn't really afford to give what he gave. So we need to try to reimburse him for that, because that really, you know, it's really hurting him right now, but he knows how important this fight is. In the meantime, right now, I have a guest, Mr. Harroward Fenton from Truth News Radio Australia. He is our newest host on the network. You folks may have heard some of his podcasts the last few weeks, last three Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time. We've been playing his podcast. He's been doing podcasts for quite a while now, and now he is going to be on the network doing live radio shows. He's got some things that he wants to talk about tonight, and I just wanted to introduce him to our audience. We've had him on before in the past, but I'd like to bring him on tonight, because Harroward is going to go live this coming Wednesday at 8 p.m. And Harroward, thank you for joining us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me aboard. Yeah, it's great to be able to chat with you.
Okay, wonderful. Harroward, you have a new project that you've been working on. We want to give out some of your websites here. Give us the links to some of your websites, your main website with your blog and your podcast, and then also talk about your new project, We Will Not Be Scanned. Tell us about your websites.
Yeah, absolutely. The main website for the show is truthnews.com.au. Just Truth News Radio Australia will get you there on Google. And that's got all our podcasts going back to 2008. We've done a lot of interviews. We've done quite a lot of interesting coverage of all the subjects that are important in the kind of freedom and liberty movements, including issues about health and the military-industrial complex and what's going on in our part of the world, which is obviously probably not highly on the radar of people in the US. So if you want to get a perspective of this side of the world, you'll find a lot of original stuff on our show. Now, a new project that I launched a few weeks ago was inspired by the fact that we are now getting the body scanners, which have been, of course, installed around the world by various governments. And the body scanners have been in trial in Melbourne and Sydney last year. And they've now decided, having done their trials and decided that it's all perfectly safe, that we will now be getting them in Australia, and they're due to go in to full use in July 2012. So the body scanners that they're actually bringing into Sydney Airport are not the X-ray backscatter scanners. They are the millimeter wave scanners. And it is being basically pushed through the government that this is perfectly safe. They're saying that unlike the X-ray backscatter, there is no danger with these particular scanners. And, of course, they're saying that they've introduced these modesty features, which means that the operator only sees a stick figure and doesn't actually see the contours of your naked body. Now, I've got criticisms and I've got challenges to all of the claims that are made about the body scanners. And actually, when you look at it, when you examine it, there's actually about five levels of reasons why we totally oppose the introduction of these scanners. There is the issue of privacy, which is not really addressed by this stick figure version, which I'll address in a minute. There is the violation of civil liberties, which of course, you know, putting a passenger in a position of essentially being strip searched, essentially being rendered with their hands in the air and subjected to an invasive procedure. That's certainly a violation of civil liberties. There is a lack of research of the health risks of the scanners, and the millimeter wave scanner, which is different to the backscatter, has even less research done on it than the backscatter ones. So when they say there is no evidence that suggests that these are harmful, what they really mean is there really hasn't been any research. And of course, the precautionary principle should indicate that in that case, you should not deploy them until you've done the research to ensure that they're safe. Then, of course, there's the manifest corruption and conflicts of interest within the companies that are selling this equipment, including the large company L3 Provision, which was funded initially by the US Defense Department, and Michael Chertoff, the former head of the Department of Homeland Security, was, of course, the head of that, and he was also a major shareholder in that company. And of course, then we have the final insult to our intelligence, which is that the clear use of false flag staged attacks, such as that now fully exposed by Kurt Haskell, in order to trigger and justify the bringing in of these machines.
Well, absolutely. And you really spoke correctly when you're talking about the lack of research and these millimeter waves, which are actually in the radio wave band, which is infrared and below, and of course the backscatter, which is in the X-ray band, which is past the ultraviolet on the other side of the visible spectrum. Well, from the research that I have done on the millimeter wave, basically those waves are analogous to a microwave oven. And so now you get your choice. You can either get fried by the X-rays or you can get fried by the microwave oven. Either or. I mean, the bottom line is these machines are very dangerous. And this nonsense about, oh, well, it's a stick figure, so you don't have to worry about privacy, that is complete and utter just rubbish, I have to say, because what ends up happening is that there is the actual image of your naked body that is stored on the machine, and then it gets processed through a piece of software so that at least maybe one end user of the machine only sees a stick figure, but there are other users of the machine that can see the actual image of your naked body at any point in time. So it's just complete and utter nonsense to say that it protects your privacy. That's just crap. I'm sorry.
Absolutely, Deborah. And I'm glad you pointed that out. And unfortunately, this has not been raised at all. We have had some objections to the scanners from the Australian Council of Civil Liberties. But I think the point you made is absolutely correct. When they say that the stick figure version is a protection of privacy, that is really, I think, an outright lie, because I think that when you look at what the machine really does, it does take a full image of your body. That's what it does. It's like a camera. It basically is taking an image of your body in detail. Now, it renders a view of that to the monitor. That's all we're talking about, is a view, which is one view of that image, which has most of that detail removed. But of course, the full image is still there, and it would be ridiculous to assume that that full image can never be accessed, because it has to be there in order for the stick figure version to be generated. And of course, in the event that they did find something that was contraband or whatever on your body, they would, of course, have that as evidence. And I think this is really important to understand, is that this is actually evidence that they're going to use against you if they find something. So the idea that there would never be an image stored is just utterly, I consider it to be a complete furphy. And it treats the general public with a degree of contempt, I believe.
Right, absolutely. And for those of you who follow InfoWars and Alex Jones, I'm sure you've seen the video, which has been censored by YouTube right now, showing an engineer who basically shows that these machines are complete and total, they're just utter frauds. And I'm going to talk about that some more on the other side. You can get anything through these machines. And so it just goes to show that this is just all about conditioning. It's about the mental, emotional, psychological conditioning of the people to just be treated like animals. It has nothing to do with security. It's security theater, and it actually makes us less safe than the metal detectors. We'll be right back, folks.
A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995, will change forever the way you look at the true nature of terrorism.
Based on the damage pattern to the building, what the government says is impossible.
The grand jury did not want to hear anything I had to say.
The decision was made not to pursue any more of those individuals.
Some of these columns were ripped up, shredded, tossed around.
The people that did the things they did knew doggone well what they were doing.
Expose the cover-up now at anoblelie.com.
Is it stealing to download music from the internet? You might be surprised at the way college students answer that question. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment with results of a new study that explores current attitudes about digital piracy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
You've probably seen public service messages about digital piracy. One of the most famous ads likens illegally downloading digital content to stealing a car. But apparently, those education efforts aren't working. A new study by the University of Nebraska found that students believe shoplifting a CD from a music store is wrong. But those same students view illegal digital downloads as far less serious. Researchers believe digital piracy is more acceptable because there's no physical danger and no visible victim. And since the practice is widespread on college campuses, there's a lot of social support. But as an author who's had my own work pirated, I can say it's pretty unpleasant from this end. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Yeah, Mr. Officer, you're taking the line to hand.
Okay, folks, we are back. A very special guest, Hereward Fenton from Sydney, Australia. He is our newest host. His show is on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Truth News Radio Australia. And his topics are not just about things going on in Australia, but things going on worldwide, also things going on in the U.S. And when we went to break, we were talking about, we're about to talk about Jonathan Corbett, the engineer who posted the video, how to get anything through the TSA nude body scanners. And this video, which has been posted many times now by many different people, is being consistently flagged for parental security. Okay. In other words, you have to verify you're 18 or older in order to watch it. And it absolutely has nothing that is lewd or lascivious at all. Even the images of the naked bodies, I mean, you can't even really see anything. It's like he even tried to white out the private parts, et cetera. But the point of the video is his own experiment, what he did to get metal objects through these body scanners. And the whole idea here is that if you look at the images that these body scanners take, they film you from the front and the back. And the idea is that an object appears as a black object on your white body. It looks like, you know, it's the image of your body is white. And if there's any objects in your pockets or anything, then it appears black. Well, the problem is that the image is on a black background. So you've got the white body on a black background, and the objects that may be on your body are black. And so all you have to do is put something on your side, and it won't show up because it'll be sticking out from your side, and it would appear black, but since there's a black background, you can't see it. All right, well, this turns out to be more than just a hypothesis, more than just a theory. He actually did this. He got a metal object. It was some kind of a metal case, some kind of a metal case about the size of his fist. And he sewed an inside pocket in his shirt and right at his waist. And he shows it with his little iPhone camera or whatever smartphone he's got. He filmed himself going through security. He filmed himself putting the metal object in his pocket, in the special pocket on the inside at his waist. And then he runs he's got to put all his electronics and everything into the X-ray machine. And you see, the camera's like all twirling around and everything as it's going through the machine. And then he picks it and then he walks right through. He goes through the naked body scanner. He goes through, he gets the phone, he gets the camera, and he opens his shirt. Boom, there's the metal object. Well, he did this several times at several different airports. And this is all in the video. And of course, there's an easy way for the TSA to solve this problem, which is, well, let's just take photographs of people from the front and from the side and from the other side or whatever. So, I mean, they could easily solve the problem by frying people with radiation from multiple different angles. But I mean, they may have to do it at a 45 degree angle. I mean, they'd have to do like a whole 360 thing. But the point is, they haven't done it up until this point, and they're still not doing it. And the whole point is, anybody could easily get on the plane with a gun by putting it on their hip. Okay? I mean, this makes us much less safe. I mean, and now that I find this out, I really don't want to get on a plane because sure, anybody could easily sneak a gun on a plane. I mean, this is just absolutely preposterous. So, Harwood, what is your take on this? What is the TSA's response to this?
Yeah, look, the TSA has responded, but they've responded in this kind of condescending, really almost jokey kind of way on their blog. And what they've actually said, I've posted this on and many other articles on the new site, wewillnotbescanned.org. And I do encourage your listeners to visit that site because I'm actually trying to maintain this as an archive of any news that's relevant to this subject. And if you've got news that you want to add to it, you can go to the site, just send me a message through the links on the site. And we'll post it because I really wanted to have a central hub of information because it does get quite overwhelming and it's hard to find sometimes what you're looking for. Now, the article here on the TSA blog states that a video is making its way around the interwebs, and they use this phrase interwebs, which is a condescending term basically to make it look like what people saying on blogs and forums is stupid. From a guy claiming that he figured out a way to beat our body scanners. And it says here, I watched the video and it is a crude attempt to allegedly show how to circumvent TSA screening procedures. Now, he calls it crude and he says allegedly. But then if you read the short article, there is absolutely no refutation of anything that Jonathan Corbett has said. So the article itself tacitly acknowledges that Jonathan Corbett is correct, but they kind of cover that by saying for security reasons, we can't discuss our technology's detection capability in detail. However, TSA conducts extensive testing of all screening technologies in the laboratory and at airports, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, just marketing, promo, crap, basically.
Well, the,
nothing, no facts there to actually say, yes or no? Well, if this was totally wrong, I guarantee you they would have said that.
Well, and here's the other thing. They try to twist this or paint it as this is a crude method of how to circumvent the detection machines. No, folks, this is not a method of how to circumvent the detection. This video proves that their machines are complete and total fraud. Okay, it's utter fraud. It's not a way to circumvent or get around the security. It's proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is no security. It's complete and total fraud. It's security theater. It's just all about psychologically conditioning people, and it doesn't make you safe at all. And in fact, it makes you less safe. It makes you completely vulnerable because anybody can get any metal object through, period. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. And, you know, the final insult here is that it's just this baby language. It's kind of talking down to the audience. It's one of the best tools available to detect metallic and non-metallic items, such as, you know, things that go boom. So this is actually from the article on the TSA, things that go boom. We're all just little babies, and they're just going to talk down to us in this silly, condescending language.
Is he saying this thing will detect plastic?
Well, it can detect plastic, but see, one of the problems with this
plastic explosive. It's not.
Yes, it can. It can detect plastic explosives. But see, one of the problems with these scanners is that on the one hand, they have these flaws where they won't detect things. On the other hand, they're overly sensitive. Now, this is particularly a problem with the millimeter wave scanners, which will detect perspiration on your body and then, you know, flag that. It will actually falsely represent things on a large scale, and it will also miss things. The machines are very ineffective in terms of what they do. But yes, they can detect things. They do have that ability, but they're not reliable. And I just would like to point out that the whole concept of airport security, right from the beginning, right going back to the 70s when we first started seeing this, really was theater. And as theatre, I think most people just accept that and don't really mind it too much. Yeah, a little bit of theatre as you go onto the plane, it makes the bad guys think twice about what they're doing. But we know you can't really stop terrorism because there are so many different ways that terrorists can actually carry out their attacks, especially if the terrorists are prepared to kill themselves in the process. Once you get a situation where you have suicide bombers, there is nothing you can do to stop terrorism. Because let's take the scenario where the terrorist turns up at the airport, joins the queue for the security. He gets flagged to go into the body scanner. He's now standing in a queue surrounded by hundreds of people. You know, and those airports get absolutely packed out. I mean, I remember when I was going out of JFK last year, I was in this sea of people. There were like 1,000 people standing all around me in close proximity. And I hadn't gone through any screening to get into the airport departure area. And there I was going through security. Now, if I had a bomb on at that point, well, I just detonate it right there, don't I? And then you're going to kill 1,000 people easily by doing that. So the security screening theater does not stop terrorism. Of course, it's never actually stopped a terrorist attack. And logically, if you think it through, it doesn't work. It is a complete furphy. But as theater, I think, as long as it's not too invasive, most people do accept it.
Yeah, why bother trying to sneak a bomb on a plane? We can just blow up the airport. I mean, give me a break. And besides, John Corbett pointed out in his video, which was a piece of information I didn't even know, nobody has tried to sneak explosives on a commercial airliner in the United States since the 1940s. So just how much of a threat is this anyway? Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, it just fails on so many levels. Sorry.
Nobody's done it except the U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I just want to point out something about the radiation aspects you were talking about there before, Deborah. It's correct, as you were saying, that the millimeter wave scanner, which they're planning to bring into Australia, uses essentially microwave radiation spectrum. Now, there has not been much research about these particular types of machines, but of course we know that microwave radiation can be very dangerous, and it really depends on the level of it. In this case, we've got a machine which bathes your whole body in a ray, which I believe it's at the lower end of the microwave spectrum. It's not as high as, for example, the transmission towers that take care of mobile networks, but it's within that range because mobile networks use the microwave spectrum as well as, I think, wireless devices. But there is a very wide range of wireless frequency spectrum.
Okay, hold on one moment, Harold. We've got to go to break. We'll be right back. No folks, worries. This is The Rule of Law.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, is that why we got the page to not come in today, end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murrah Building? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
Talking about these millimeter wave machines and the frequency range, they are radio frequencies. They're basically just under the infrared. It's right before it goes into infrared, right before it goes into the visible light spectrum. There's actually the microwaves and then the millimeter waves and then the terahertz. And so there are these different categories of waves, of radio frequency waves. And so why don't you break it down for us, Harold?
Yeah. And there really hasn't been a lot of research on this type of thing, especially the way they're actually doing it. I mean, this is not the same as using a mobile phone. Now, of course, there has been research that indicates that mobile phones are not safe. And so one of the arguments that is being used by governments and corporations selling this equipment is saying, well, this is no more dangerous than using a mobile phone. But, of course, the safety issues of mobile phones are hotly contested. But again, this is not the same as a mobile phone. It's a totally different way it's being applied. Now, there has been some research into terahertz waves, and there's a couple of articles there on my site on wewillnotbescanned.org that explains that they've shown that these terahertz waves can actually unzip DNA. And the results were not the result of a very intense study, but they were disturbing enough in themselves because it shows that the DNA can be affected by these terahertz waves in quite a surprising way, that it actually unzips. So obviously more research needs to be done. And I think the point here is it shouldn't be up to us to have to prove that these things are not safe. It's up to those who are enforcing these to prove that they are safe. And if there is a lack of research, that's equivalent to saying it's not safe. If there's a lack of research, you can't then say, well, there's no research that indicates it's not safe. That's, again, that's a word game. And this is a typical strategy that's being currently used to just confuse people. And they say, well, our research doesn't show there's a problem. Okay, what do you really mean? You really mean you haven't done any research. And this is the problem that we're constantly up against. Now, when the TSA said that the backscatter was safe according to the research results that they had endorsed, it turned out that these universities like Johns Hopkins had done a study, but they were never given access to the machine itself. All they actually received in terms of information was like a data sheet from the TSA, a file with numbers in it, and the TSA said, here, this is what our machine puts out, tell us if it's safe or not. Now, most people would think that if it was research and if a proper team had done the research, they would have been given a machine to test with. No, the TSA didn't provide that. Why not? You really got to wonder, why didn't they provide Johns Hopkins University with a machine to test with? Doesn't that indicate there might be some problems there that they don't want to come public? And again, should we be trusting it when they just say, well, here's the data, but you can't get access to the machine?
Well, and not only that, Johns Hopkins University ended up coming out public anyway and saying, no, the machines aren't safe. And then the TSA lies. And on their PR page, they say, oh, Johns Hopkins said that it's safe. And that is a complete and total lie. Johns Hopkins never said it was safe. In fact, they said the opposite. They said it was not safe. So they just lie.
Yeah, and you'll find that there'll be different spin put on it by whoever's being interviewed at a given time. And I think there was a couple of big articles that came out. One was in Scientific American, and I'm not sure if that is referring to the same study. But that article in Scientific American really did a lot of damage to our cause by saying that, you know, one of these studies had concluded that it's safe. And, well, that's the one that was only given a data sheet and didn't have access to the machines at all. But, you know, there are so many different ways you can spin it. Of course, the point here is that there is a commercial objective here in selling the machines. We're being lied to about the facts. And it is such an invasion of people's basic dignity, people's basic civil liberties, that what I'm trying to do, because they're not in force here in Australia yet, I'm really trying to drum up some public interest to take this to the next level. And it's really hard, as I guess you guys know, to get people to that point of being motivated. But Australia is one of the last countries now to go under this system in the Western world. Of course, by the way, they're not using them in Asia. They're not using them in the Middle East. They're not using them in South America. And I guarantee you they never will. So it is our Western pseudo-democracies going under this global totalitarian grid where these machines are being put into effect. And in countries where they have real threats of terrorism, like in China, like in the Middle East, like in the Arab Emirates, Dubai, no chance. And guess what? It's against Islamic law. I mean, it is Islamic countries won't do it because they have more respect for human dignity than do the Western pseudo-democracies. And I think that's a really interesting point.
Absolutely. So, you know, and then what they do is they say, oh, well, if you don't want to go through the machine, then you get to have this invasive enhanced pat down, which amounts to nothing less than a sexual assault. And what I find striking about all of this is that, We didn't have to go through these so-called enhanced pat-down sexual assaults before they had these machines in place. And so it has nothing to do with security. This is all about intimidating people into going through the machines. Why do they want us to go through the machines so bad? And I have my own theories about this. I believe, it can't be proven, but this is what I think. There's got to be a reason why they want us into the machine so bad. We know they're storing the data. I think it's because of biometrics. They're trying to capture everyone's biometric data. And so if you don't want to go through the machines, well, they're just going to make your life miserable enough so that you'll go through them anyway.
Well, yeah, there's certainly a rush to collect as much information as possible on people. Now, unfortunately, in Australia, Deborah, the pat-down has been ruled out. We will not have the pat-down option at all. And this is what makes it really critical now that Australian people stand up and resist this. Because when these machines go into operation in our international airports initially, if you are selected for scanning and you don't get scanned, you will not be allowed on the plane. It's that simple. So it's really quite an extreme situation. And for me to actually start a new website on it, that's quite a big thing for me to do. I've got a lot of other things I'm doing, and I don't normally have the time to do that. But I find that this particular issue is so critical, and it goes to the heart of so many issues about the New World Order and what is going on globally, that it's something we really do have to focus on. And we have to try and educate those who don't understand its importance as to why it's important. And, you know, I went through some of those points there about the privacy issues, the civil liberty issues, the safety issues, the corruption issues, the efficacy issues. And of course, the ultimate icing on the cake is the use of false flag staged events, which we have such strong evidence now to prove that they used that in order to simply justify bringing in the machines in the first place. And we have such a catalogue now of staged terror events that have been done. And as Australia is part of that, we've got a lot of things that have happened here, Deborah, which you probably don't know about, but we have a police organization here called the Australian Federal Police. And they have been doing the very same type of thing that you see in the US, where they basically coach and groom marginal, quite often psychotic people who are of Middle Eastern backgrounds in our community, and they coach them into terrorist plots. And in one case, which is one of the major cases in Australian law, they arrested about five of them, and the whole case was built on mobile phone calls between a federal police officer and one of these so-called conspirators. And it turned out that this guy was mentally ill. He was on major antipsychotics. He was delusional and had never taken any steps towards making a bomb. But he and his cohorts were prosecuted to the full length of the law. They used control orders. They used all of the anti-terror legislation that was passed here, similar to the Patriot Act in the first few years after 9/11. And so this is well documented that these types of techniques are used to drum up the fear of terrorism and, of course, to justify new procedures and legislations. And, of course, this body scanner is exactly that type of thing.
Well, absolutely. And as Jesse Trinity says in A Noble Lie, the documentary on the Oklahoma City bombing, Jesse Trinity says from his research in Elohim City, whenever you have four people sitting around talking about overthrowing the government, three of them are working for the government. And the other one is some crazed psychopath that's drugged out of his mind on psychotropics that have been fed to him by the other three that work for the government. So give me a break.
Exactly. So, you know, look, we understand it. You understand it. I know many of your listeners understand it. The challenge is to reach out and reawaken this rebellion against the scanners, because I know you had it over there in 2010, and I'm really wondering what happened, because you had this big movement, you had this We Won't Fly group, and it was really taking off. And actually, when I was over there, I noticed all the body scanners were switched off, and I think they switched them off for about 2 or 3 months because of this protest movement, and then they just quietly switched the scanners on again. And now all the news I'm getting from the US is that everyone's just going through and there's no complaint. I mean, there's complaints, there's blog posts and stuff, but it seems like that movement has just died out.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it today. Hope you enjoyed the show. And you can check out Logos Radio Network at logosradionetwork.com. And you can find the Truth News Australia page there. And you can listen to it on your smartphone, if you've got a smartphone. And you can also dial in and call. Now, currently, there is only a US number to call in to the show, but soon we will actually have a 1-300 number for Australian listeners. So what I would say is wait for that, and you'll be able to make a local call to call into our show. But if you go to Logos Radio Network and click on the listen link there, you can see all the information about the streaming player and the archives. Thanks for listening to TNRA. If you would like to support Truth News Australia, here's something you can do right now. Go to our Facebook page, and you can find that by going to the website and then clicking on the Facebook link. If you're not already a fan of our Facebook page, click on the like button. Then invite all your friends to become fans, and you can do that by clicking on the link on the right-hand side that says Invite Friends.